listeners. My name's James.
And I'm Tim.
We're your hosts.
You're listening to
The Wave of Wire. Welcome to another episode of The Wave Wire. This is your finals rundown. It's finals time, everybody. I'm Tim, and I'm joined by my co-host, James. James, what's up?
Not a lot, Tim.
You're out.
There is a lot. Yeah, not a lot, because I'm playing for that fifth consolation prize. I can't believe it, Tim. Injuries just gave Eduardo Jr. an easy ride into the second round.
Look, there's nothing you could do. When you get seven injuries in a week...
Pretty unfortunate.
There's not much you can do.
Look, I put up a fight. I managed to win one category. It was 1-8. But, the injuries really did take their toll. And, But
James, I'm exacting your revenge. I'm up 6-3.
Beautiful. Just crush him. But, look, Tim, I've been doing more research than I've been doing throughout the whole year just for this one.
About time you did something.
I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm ready to give everyone the rundown, Tim. We're excited to, you know, we're excited to help people win. That's what we hear about.
This is the biggest week in the fantasy calendar.
It's the biggest week of the year, Tim. It's playoffs time, and look, we're just going to set up your team for victory, aren't we, Tim?
Well, like if you have bets on it with your friends, if you're in the league with all your friends, like us, we have a slab on it, riding on it.
Yeah.
So three slabs, because there was four of us who were in it. So
we're gonna have a slab day.
If I win, I'm taking three slabs off you.
It's gonna be a huge afternoon.
Yeah, it's gonna be a massive afternoon. Anyway, James. Let's get right into it.
Well, Tim, it's interesting because we've been perusing the waiver wire, and it's interesting. Some players you wouldn't expect have been dropped throughout the last week because people are getting desperate. People like me, who are getting desperate because they just didn't have enough players on the field. They're all injured. So people like Alan Williams have been getting dropped. Rashaan Holmes has been getting dropped. Because people are desperate, they didn't play too many games last week, and they just needed players on the field.
Well, just quietly, Rashaan Holmes didn't play the greatest of games anyway.
No. But, still, in the end, players like that, who can be very valuable to... what are we going to call it, Tim? Your championship run.
My championship run.
They're very valuable players, and there's, you know, check everyone's league's going to be different, because these are high-owned players. But there will be someone desperate in every league who's dropped someone that they probably shouldn't have, and they'll be on the wire. So make sure you're keeping a lookout for that. That's James's daily tip.
You genuinely have to be perusing the wire every day.
No, it's what's a word I can use that to make me sound like fancy? It's paramount.
Paramount. Nice. Well played.
All right, Tim. Well, let's kick things off. We'll start off with ads because that's the most important thing. You only got four ads, and you're going to use them wisely. So we've got a short list of five players here, Tim. We've perused, we've inquired.
And
we've definitely queried.
We always query.
So, look, I'll just give you the names now. Marco Bellinelli, Seth Curry, Willie Hernangómez, Kuzminskas.
That's a
little point of difference I'll be talking about later. And Jeremy Lin. So, we've got five, you know, all two of them are owned in 60% of teams. But that's, you know, still available in half the leagues. And the others are all less than 10% owned. So these are important players who will most likely be available in your league, and they will definitely be making a difference for the final game of the season.
Yeah, absolutely they will, James. It's I can't stress it again how important it is to be scouring the wire. Because who did I pick up? I picked up Ian Mahinmi, because I put him in our ads last week.
He's a game changer.
He got four steals. Yesterday, he had 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 steals. It's exactly what I wanted. I wanted the 4 steals, and it's put me in front of the steals category.
Yeah, he changed.
That's what I needed.
He changed your matchup.
That's absolutely what I needed.
There's players you can be picking up off the wire, Tim. If you don't have someone playing, well, at this point of the season, you really should be using all four ads.
Yeah.
Throughout the week.
Well,
throughout the year, there's some players you want to keep for the entirety of the year. At come playoff time, mate, you got to win that. You got to win that matchup.
So who are we looking at for this big championship run? Not only are we talking about these players, but Portland, Sacramento, and Boston, I think it is, all play 5 games within the next 7 days.
Yes, also and Brooklyn does as well.
Yeah, there we go. So that's 4 teams right there that you definitely
have to... Charlotte? No, and Charlotte.
So 5 teams that you have to be looking at because they've got, you know, they've got all the... There's nothing worse than adding someone who's very important to your team, but he's only going to play two games next week. That's something that found me out against Eduardo. All my good players who weren't injured only played two something games, and I got destroyed for it. So, all right, Tim, let's get stuck into it. So the first ad, Marco Bellinelli. You mentioned his name a little bit earlier.
Gee, he's good.
He's had the hot hand recently. You know, he's been a guy who's been in and out of lineups across... There was some point he was at 50% owned halfway through the year when Batum was, well, let's say, floundering.
He wasn't playing well.
No. So, Bellinelli's had the hot hand recently, and Steve Clifford's been riding him because, look, the let's be frank, Tim. Frank the Tank. Let's be Frank the Tank. The Hornets' playoff hopes seem to be slipping away.
I think it's kind of dead.
32 and I think they're 32-39 or 32-40.
They have staged a miraculous comeback, but I think it's too little, too late.
They're about four games behind the eighth seed, which, you know, Miami has 36 wins, I think, 37 wins. Probably not ideal at this point of the season to be that far off the pace with the lineup they have, but we'll see where they go from there. But they're trying anything they can to get into the playoffs. And over the past 2 weeks, Bellinelli's been posting a stat line of 43% from the free throw 43% field goal percentage, 88% from the line, which is very handy. 2 3-pointers a game, 14 points and 1 steal. The rebounds and assists is about 1 a game, nearly 2. So the efficiency numbers he's putting up are incredibly handy. Because, look, you can never get too much efficiency, can you?
No, you can never get too much efficiency.
Because, especially with guards, look, the bigger players tend to be the boost for the efficiency in your team because they shoot 60%. So if you can get a guard posting 45% from the field, it's handy. Especially at the volume that Bellinelli shoots.
Yeah, so, that's the thing that's really important with Bellinelli. If he's having an efficient game, he's going to put up a lot of points.
Exactly, he can definitely score 5 or 6 3-pointers in a game.
He's one of those players who's not afraid to take the shot.
No, he's not.
He might have missed his first 10, but he's like, give it to me, I'm taking my 11th shot, I'll make this one.
Yeah, he's got a selective amnesia, mate. He forgets the last shot.
Oh, you need it. You need it.
Yeah. Well, the Hornets are also playing 4 games next week, so he's definitely worth the ad, and he's only in 10% of teams. So look, he's available in your league, and I'm definitely saying he's worthwhile.
He's worthwhile.
Absolutely, he's worthwhile, Tim. Can't go wrong with him.
That's what I'm saying, James. He's worthwhile.
All right, Tim. Next ad. Seth Curry. This one's interesting. I mean, he's probably the better Curry.
The better Curry? No. Seth.
Seth's all. But he's finally getting the ownership numbers he deserves. We were hot on him early in the season. We were talking about him.
He's up to about 66%, I think.
Yes, that's correct. 66%. And we were hot on him. We said early in the season, you got to have him because he's been playing well. He's been balling. And look, there's still a chance he's available in your league. He's only 2/3 of the leagues, but that leaves 1/3 of the league, you know, unowned. Yeah, Tim, so he's still probably available in your league. And I'd definitely be taking a look at him. Rick Carlisle has gone to the media and he said that the Mavs want to be taking a look at Seth Curry at the point guard position for the rest of the season, which is odd because, you know, he was pretty terrible at the point guard position to start the season and last year when he was with the Kings. And Yogi Ferrell's been starting a point guard, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But look for Seth Curry's usage to increase a lot. I think it's going to go up a lot here. So, his efficiency numbers might take a hit, but he's been shooting 51% from the field since the start of March and 91% from the free throw line, which is pretty fantastic. And he's been averaging 16.7 points, 3 assists, and 3 rebounds a game, and 1 steal. So he's doing it, you know, he's doing a lot better than a lot of other starting point guards in the league. And his usage is still yet to increase, so I think it'd be rude not to take a look at him.
I genuinely think he's better as a shooting guard purely for the fact that he's a scorer. He's more of a scorer than Steph.
No.
Steph's more of the point
passing,
guard.
Steph's passing is, you know, and movement off the ball works better in Golden State's offense than Seth Curry would.
Seth Curry reminds me more of JJ Redick than he does Steph, but he's got Steph's
pulling up off screens.
Yeah, absolutely. Seth's got that ability. He's got the ability to run around screens. He's definitely the scorer, not the facilitator that Steph is. But I mean, he's still. They might as well give him a chance. How old is he? Like 23.
Young. He's young.
23. He's got a chance.
Lock him in your dynasty league, Tim. What do you reckon?
Yeah, we don't do dynasty leagues. We'll soon. On to Willie Hernan Gomez.
Look, Tim, he's good on his day. That's what I can get out of it. Joakim Noah, who wasn't playing anyways, suspended for the next 20 games due to a drug infringement?
Yeah, drug ban.
According to Woj. So, he's been getting the start for the Knicks since Noah's been out.
just quietly on the worst contract in the entire NBA.
Yeah, 72 mil for 4 years to sit on the pine.
Exactly. But he's averaging just under a double-double. 9.7 points and 9.1 rebounds a game in 20 minutes over the last 14 days. It's, look, 20 minutes isn't a lot of time to do a lot of damage. Greg Monroe does more.
Yeah.
Moose is a gun. But because he gets the start, Hornacek is more willing to run with him if he starts strongly to the game. If he starts poorly, he's going to get cut off.
Yeah, Carl O'Quinn just comes straight in.
Yeah, he'll get cut off for 20 minutes and that'll be it for the game and Carl O'Quinn will take over. But I think Willie Hernangómez is definitely worth a look because if he starts strongly, he'll play, you know, nearer to 30 minutes and he could definitely, you know, we've seen in the past him that the Hernangómezes could definitely put up some...
Wancho land.
We've seen they can put up some pretty hefty stat lines.
Yeah, Wancho puts up 27 points in a hurry against Golden State.
We're not talking about Wancho here, though.
Wancho puts up 27 points in a hurry, James.
But yeah, if he's dominating, Hornacek is very inclined to run with him. So I think he's worth, just for that point of difference, I think he's worth the ad. He's worth a look.
Yeah, he's definitely worth a look at, James. Another one, I don't even want to talk about that.
What? Kuzminskis?
Yeah.
It's a risky ad, Tim. I've perused, as I said before. We've perused, we've inquired, and we've queried.
Yeah, has to be done.
So Kuzminskis is an interesting one because his averages, if you search anywhere, you're just looking at averages over the last month or so, he won't show up anywhere.
Yeah, he shouldn't.
But he's got the start, 2 games in a row now. Pretty impressive performance against the Blazers in what was a blowout. He played 31 minutes still. But 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal.
That's
not bad for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's handy from an underdeveloped small forward. And they got blown out. They were never close, really, the Knicks. And he scored the first 5 points for the Knicks against the Spurs today, Tim.
The first five?
Well, when we started filming this, the Spurs game had only just started, so that's as much outlook as I could take from that game. But he scored the first 5 points for the Knicks as they were losing 5-13 or whatever it was. Hit a three. So Kuzminskis can put up points across the board in a variety of ways. He can score threes. Pretty good field goal percentage and free throw percentage coming into it. And I'm expecting his numbers to get a real boost now that, look, he's going to be the starting small forward.
Well, power forward, I think.
Small forward. Porzingis at power forward and Willie Hernangómez.
What's happened to Melo? Is he shut down?
Yeah, I think he's injured. I think that's why Kuzminskis has been starting.
Yeah. Well,
as long as Melo continues to miss, look at Kuzminskis to play. Courtney Lee's been playing 40 minutes a game as well, so he's a sneaky ad, but he's owned quite a bit throughout the league.
Speculative ad, James.
Speculative ad. And the last ad, Tim. Jeremy Lin.
In Jeremy Lin.
We talked about this with Josh Lloyd as probably... Well, he was our number one target for the rest of the season, wasn't he?
No, Gary Harris was.
Gary Harris. And Patrick Beverley.
And has been great, just quietly.
So for some reason, he's less owned than Seth Curry. I don't quite understand why. Probably because his efficiency isn't great. 39% from the field over the last month and a half it was, I think. But he's putting up numbers of 14, 4 and 4 on a nightly basis and he gets a steal a game. That's handy. Definitely a handy output. He adds a 3 or so a game. He just does a little bit of everything, Tim. He covers all the stats and he's still available in almost half of leagues. So at 60% ownership, Brooklyn has 4 games next week, which is, you know, perfect timing for your matchup. 4 games of, 14, 4, and 4. Very, very difficult for your opponent to counteract.
Yeah, see, I think it comes down to how many games a person's going to play next week. If you can have
it's paramount next week, Tim.
You can have someone who's going to play 2 games and they're going to put up 20 points, or you can have someone who's going to play 5 games and they can put up 15 points each game.
Exactly.
So you have to look at that. I think I'm going to be picking up Ty Lawson. Actually, I'll talk about him a bit later in the Flyers, but...
Yeah.
Are you done? Are you finished with your ads, James?
Yeah, Tim, that's enough ads for this week. Right, I think.
On to the drops.
We've got to talk about the drops. People who just aren't cutting the mustard for us at the moment, Tim.
Well, Mo Harkless is the first one.
He's been horrible.
He's lost a lot of meaningful minutes to Noah Vonleh somehow, because I think they just want to give Vonleh some time, see what he develops into. How old is he?
Actually talked about Noah Vonleh later in the questions.
He's 20 to 21. So they want to develop him and see what he can turn into, because Mo Harkless just really isn't doing much.
Yeah, he was good in Orlando. He was good in his first season for the Blazers. This is his second season. I think this is his second season now, maybe.
Still. Yeah, second season at the Blazers.
Hasn't been too great, I can't say he has.
Averaging 6 points, 2.9 rebounds, and 1.9 assists a night in the last 2 weeks.
Like, no man can put up those numbers and be safe in a team. That's quite... Well, if you're a role player on a side and you're putting up those numbers, that's actually pretty useful for the team. But in your fantasy lineup, you have no space for that rubbish.
No, we haven't got time for that rubbish on in playoffs, Tim. Definitely not in playoffs.
It wouldn't be worth keeping the regular season, let alone in playoffs, where it's crunch time.
I did keep him in the regular season for about 6 weeks. Didn't work out too well for me.
Not even Paulin playing 5 games in the next 7 days has...
I still won't cut it for me, I don't think.
Has not been able to make him save him. Because he'll score 30 points for the week.
And what's that going to do for me?
It's not going to help you. It really not going to help you. We're dropping Omri Caspi, James.
Dropping him.
His biggest stat that he's averaging in his career at the Timberwolves is turnovers. Three. He's averaging 3 turnovers a game. In a combined of 36 minutes in his 2 games, he's averaging 3 turnovers. He's averaging 2.5 points, 1.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists.
It's not handy. It's not very good.
As I said, his biggest stat is his turnovers.
It's not very good at all. He was an archer in New Orleans for 1.5 games. Oh, was it just one game against the Rockets? That was it.
And now he's played 2 games with the Timberwolves and he doesn't look great. So,
how many people were still hanging on to him? If you were, you're an idiot.
Yeah, he was in 1% of teams.
More 1% of idiots.
By the way, James, I forgot to say, how was Joe Ingles in 11% of teams?
Tim, you just... Alright, I'm just going to cut to the last question.
No, we'll bring it up later. We're dropping Corey Joseph.
Are we? Dropping
him. This is a big one. This is a big call.
That's ambitious. This is a big call.
We're not dropping him right now. He's getting there, though. He played 43 minutes the other night. He put up 19 points, 1 rebound, and 2 assists in 43 minutes.
It's not drop-worthy. Played 43 minutes, mate.
Played 43 minutes. So? Just listen. I'm getting there. It's not healthy numbers for someone who has been given the keys to the offense with Kyle Lowry injured. Delon Wright, have you ever heard of him? Because I haven't.
I have heard of him, just because I've been doing research for this podcast.
If he actually played good minutes, Corey Joseph would be sitting on the pine right now.
Yeah, DeLon Wright's not very good.
DeLon Wright is probably the fourth person in the depth chart. Maybe third, really, because they didn't have anyone else. But he's more of a shooting guard than anything else. And they've decided to play him a point guard because they've had enough of Corey Joseph. That's how bad he's been.
Yeah, and DeLon Wright's not a good basketball player.
So if DeLon Wright actually plays good minutes, watch out, because Corey Joseph is in trouble. He's averaging 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 2.6 assists. No, sorry. 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, with 2.6 turnovers in the last 2 weeks. Has that changed your mind now? the only saving grace was when he scored 15 points, had 8 rebounds and 9 assists. Well, if he hadn't had that, his stats would be terrible.
Well, I must admit, I did drop him when I was looking for, scrambling to try and get players to play. Yeah. Corey Joseph was the first one on the chopping block there.
Yeah, look, I'd be having my finger hovering over the drop button at a moment's notice. As soon as DeLon Wright gets 20 minutes, drop him. He's finished.
What's that song where the Chemical Brothers push the button?
Yeah.
We need to play that.
No, we don't, James. We'll move on. On to the Flyers.
Are we taking a flyer? Who are we taking a flyer on?
So we got 4 Flyers this week.
That happen to be to coincide with the 4 ad drops you got
that's,
for the week?
That's why there's 4 Flyers, James, because you can only pick up 4 people in a week. Jason Smith is the first one. Probably one of the most hated players in the NBA. One of mine.
He always manages to cook Houston.
I dislike him massively. But Markieff Morris has been battling injuries the last couple of weeks. He had illness, he had leg soreness, he had cramps, back spasms, he's had everything.
Morris twins are just whingers, Tim, if you ask me.
I don't think you would say that to them, to their face. They'd beat you into next week. If it looks like Keith will miss again, don't hesitate on giving Smith a day in your team, because he starts, he can put up points in a hurry. He's a dangerous shooter, and I think that's what me and James are referring to by the fact that we hate him, because he just burns you. He really does. He comes off and plays, 5 minutes and drops 2 trays and then pisses off and doesn't come back. It's quite annoying.
I hate him.
It's quite annoying.
I can't stand him.
So he shoots a fair percentage while dropping 2 to 3 trays as well when he plays the 20 minutes with 20 to 25 minutes. Chips in some solid rebounding numbers as well. Put up 7 boards in his last 3 games as well for 15 points.
He's a good basketball player. He definitely fills the stat sheet. You can't go wrong with Jason Smith, I mean.
Yeah, for a day. You don't want him for a week.
He's the kind of player he's a specialist. You bring in for the one game and then drop him straight after.
Yeah, so you only want him for a day. Sean Long, have you ever heard of him?
Who's that?
Yeah. Pulled up from the D-League by the Philadelphia 76ers with Jahlil Okafor having treatment for his knee, because he's had knee soreness for the last 12 months.
Are they going to shut him down too?
Yeah, they finally decided that I think it's time to take him out of the team, give him a bit of treatment. So Sean Long's been caught up for the D-League. He's a small forward, but he has been playing minutes at the centre, so he's a bit undersized.
Small forward playing minutes at the centre?
Yeah, small forward playing minutes at the centre. But
interesting.
it's all right because it means he spaces the floor, gets a bit of shooting going, so it's all right. It works well. They won. They blew him out the other day.
Did he play against the Bulls?
Yeah, he played. That's what I'm about to refer to, James. In 19 minutes, he tallied 18 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals on 80% shooting.
It's not bad on debut.
In 19 minutes. Yeah, no, that definitely. Was his second game.
Oh, sorry.
The game before, he put up 10 points and 4 rebounds in 13 minutes.
Also not bad on debut.
Absolutely. So if he gets more minutes, I'm definitely taking a flyer on him.
Tim, guess what? You convinced me. I'd be taking a punt on him.
Yeah, so Jahlil's out. He's getting 20 minutes because Dario Saric is moving. They swap around. Dario Saric goes to center, he goes to center, and they just move him around. So they play him all together. It's really positionless, if anything. But he can put up points in a hurry. He's actually got a decent stroke. He played quite a few games in the D League and put up 30 points, I think. Because, you know, the D League scorers always average about 30 points or whatever. So he can do that. So
if you don't average 30 points in the D League, are you even NBA ready?
No, probably not. Anyway, James, the next flyer. A man close to our heart.
I can't believe you're just putting him in as a flyer, Tim.
Ersan Ilyasova. Was probably one of the better players in the league at Philly.
He was fantastic at Philly. He had incredibly high trade value.
Yep. Went to Atlanta Hawks, and that instantly killed his trade value. But now it's back.
It's back.
For flyer capabilities.
Nice.
Atlanta plays the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow, James, and this is the specific day that I've picked him out for. Kent Bazemore's missing again. He's out for 7 to 10 days, and he's only missed about 5, so he's definitely not playing again tomorrow. Paul Millsap is questionable at this point in time with a knee injury.
And they might just give him the game off against the Nets.
Since they've lost their last 6 or 7 games, they might as well rest him, because Atlanta needs him for the playoff push. So
exactly.
He may miss again. That guarantees 30 minutes of work at least for Ersan.
Ersan might go big tomorrow, Tim.
And he usually stuffs the stat sheet in that time. I wouldn't disregard a 20-10 game with a couple of three-pointers.
You could not go wrong with 20-10 and a couple of three-pointers, could you?
No, because if Bazemore misses, that's 15 points that he's been averaging for the last week that's already gone off. Millsap's one of their best players.
Yeah.
So
he'll become a focal point for the offense, Ilyasova. Back to the old Philadelphia 76er days.
Absolutely. So definitely taking a flyer on him tomorrow.
Maybe back to the old Detroit Piston days. What do you reckon?
No, he was terrible at Detroit. Didn't really feel a need for them. Sorry, didn't really work out there.
Tobias Harris is better than him anyway.
Yeah. James, another flyer we're taking here. Ty Lawson.
Can't believe
it. I couldn't leave him out.
What if he's in jail?
I'm about to cover that, James. Don't worry. Could be a speculative 2-day player. Not just one. As he plays 5 games the next 7 days. So you can get him on either of his back-to-backs. Fresh off the court case, and he is quoted as saying he feels like a weight has been lifted off his shoulder after he attended court. Do you know what he did the following day, James? He dropped 20 points in 24 minutes.
I thought you said he got caught drink driving.
No, he dropped 20 points in 24 minutes.
That's not bad.
Definitely worth an inquiry on a back-to-back.
Was that against Golden State as well?
Not too sure. I think so.
They got blown out too.
Watch out. Ty's good. Ty's quite back good.
When was he almost an All-Star?
2014. He was an All-Star.
2013-14?
Averaging 12 points and 11 assists.
Not bad. Maybe old Ty Lawson's back. But then, so, yeah, he's worth the inquiry on a back-to-back, I think, Tim.
I think he didn't get All-Star because he got caught drink driving and they couldn't have that.
All right, Tim, it's question time.
What are we doing in question time, James?
We've got 3 questions. The first one's a rhetorical question.
Okay.
This one's for you, Tim. They've specifically asked for Tim to answer this question.
Yep.
And it's from James, actually. So why is Joe Ingles only in 11% of teams?
Would that James be you?
It could be.
I don't understand, James.
Would you like to just refer the listeners to the last podcast where we discussed at length why Joe Ingles was only in 11% of teams and why we couldn't understand it?
The podcast was called
Why is Joe Ingles only in 11% of teams?
Rodney Hood missed, didn't he?
He did again. Do we have good news? We have bad news, Tim.
We have bad news?
Joe Ingles is only in 9% of teams.
He got drops because right elbow soreness, James. And he played a terrible game after we pumped up his tires.
Scored 1 point. Look, that always happens, Tim. We pump up someone's tires, the next game they play horrible, and then they're good again. Look at Robert Covington.
Yeah. 1 point, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers. Not great.
That's good.
That's good, you reckon? The assist number's good. Rebounds, happy. Look, 4 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, everything else, happy. The points, look, he only took...
It'd be nice if those minutes were actually points.
Yeah.
27.
Yeah, he took 3 shots, and he scored 4 points, so...
you can't really blame him. Oh, sorry, he took 6 shots.
Hey, 7 points. But he has 7 rebounds and 5 assists, which is nice.
Yeah, they're nice stats.
No turnovers, really?
Yeah, no turnovers. Oh, well.
He's a nice guy. Okay, everyone.
All right, Tim. That was probably a bad choice.
The first real question. Noel Vonleh has been... Another thing you've addressed earlier. Noel Vonleh has been good the last few days. Is he worth adding? I'll take this one, Tim.
Okay.
So, thanks, Tom, first of all. No, Tom, he's not worth the add. So, although Vonleh has actually looked like a capable NBA player over the last couple of days, he's still only averaging 7.5 points and 8.5 rebounds over the last 2 weeks. So, think about this.
There's future, there's potential.
He's been playing 25 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 7.5 points and 8.5 rebounds. Why would you pick him over someone like Willie Hernan Gomez?
Like Joe Ingles.
Like Joe Ingles. Like Jeremy Lin.
In Jeremy.
Like Seth Curry. Like Marco Bellinelli. Who are doing more in less amount of time. These players that we've talked about adding are producing in small minutes, aside from Seth Curry and Jeremy Lin. And their value's about to rocket because they're going to, you know, have increased roles. Tim Vonleh is just an extra piece in Terry Stotts' front court puzzle. So he's already got to deal with Leonard, Aminu, Davis, and Nurkic.
And Turner.
And Turner and Harkless. Now he's got to add into the mix Noah Vonleh. And look, Noah Vonleh's probably the worst out of all of them.
Yeah, but he's got the most potential, well, apart from Nurkic.
So, Tim, I can't see him being any more productive than he already is. And I think he's just an extra headache for Terry Stotts to, you know, try and slot in. So, can't see any extra production here out of Vonleh.
So, that's a no.
It's a no from me.
You just have to say no, James.
I like to give reasoning behind my nose.
Anyway, is Terrence Ross worth a second chance?
I'll give this one to you, Tim. You had him. We've both picked him up, actually, since he joined Orlando.
I can specifically answer yes, because I'm considering giving him a second chance right now.
Hey.
I dropped him for someone, I can't remember who it was, but I've now dropped them. I dropped him for Bobby Portis.
Tim, how many times do I have to tell you? Bobby Portis is not a good basketball player.
Well, Terrence Ross was averaging 10 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. I needed more stats, because as I said, points mean nothing to me. Well, then Devin Booker just completely changed that yesterday by putting up 70. Just quietly, that was a massive performance. 18, 4, 2, and 1 in his last 4 games. I think he's requiring a second chance.
Yeah, the Magic are on a roll, team. They've pinched 3 wins out of the last 4.
They blew out the Pistons. I mean, that's not really a big fate at the moment.
Nah, it's not hard.
We
could blow out the Pistons, I reckon, Tim.
Yeah, you and me. Bit of 2-man game. Shout out to Matt Buns. Good pot over there. We might as well take a punt on him, James. You might as well, because if he's available in your league, he can go off at any minute.
He's one of those scorers, you know, he, like we talked about before, he's the selective amnesia. If he misses, he's still going to take the next shot. He doesn't care. He's not afraid. In his first game in Orlando colours, I'm pretty sure he took about 15 field goals. So, and he only made like 3 or 4 of them, but he's not afraid to take the shot. And he managed to put up decent numbers across the board, even if he shots off. But he does kill your efficiency. That's so, fun. If he catches fire at any point during the next week, Tim, he could definitely be the difference maker in your final.
All right,
that's what you need, Tim. You need the difference makers in your final. You need someone to differentiate you from everyone else.
James, I think that's all we've got time for. We've said all we can. We've tried to win everyone their final.
We're doing all the work for you. We've got you this far, Tim. We're trying to pull everyone over the line, but it takes you guys clicking the add and the drop just on what we've been telling you to do, just to get you over the line.
James, thanks for joining me. On the finals.
On the final classic fantasy episode of the season.
The final one. Hopefully everyone wins. Hopefully I win. I'm keen for that W.
We'll be on Twitter discussing what's next for this slot. We'll be doing, because as we mentioned before, Dash Radio is starting up soon. Next week or the week after. And we'll be moving to, what is it, Tim? Wednesday.
Wednesday night at 6:30.
Central.
5 Pacific, I think it is. 5:30 Pacific. And 4:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings with the rerun at 12.
Prime time. Yeah. Prime time rerun.
Absolutely prime time for your DFS slates.
Yeah, well, that'll be the normal DFS. We've got a couple of specials planned regarding the playoffs, so we'll keep you in the loop. So, Tim, thank you for joining me. This has been the last episode of Classic Fantasy. We'll be back very, very soon for the DFS update.